This is Lydia's first time living in Iceland, and Jonas's second time. They've both lived here for almost a year now, and they are both married to Icelanders. So they visited often and have traveled up, down, and through Iceland. They have recommendations, do's and don'ts, and tales of adventure to share. These are their stories. Dun-dun! Hello, and welcome to... What are we calling this again?
The Raisin at the Hot Dog's End.
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 A Raisin or The Raisin?
The Raisin.
The Raisin.
The Raisin.
The Raisin at the Hot Dog's
End.
Thank you for that.
Yes, that was our...
Fantastic intro.
That was our Law and Order style intro.
Yeah, because who doesn't love Law and Order?
It was a little inspired.
Yeah.
A little bit of the old country. So here we are. It's episode two.
Episode two. Take two.
Take two. You guys, we put together such a good episode for you.
It was
amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been all the better if the microphone had been recording us.
Yeah.
For almost 2 hours.
Almost 2 hours of brilliance, and then we check. Oh, look, only 1 minute.
Not recording. Mm. I feel like this is a rite of passage.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we have been indoctrinated into the world of podcasters.
These are the hard knocks you have to go through as a podcaster.
Yes. Baptism by fire.
Mm-hmm.
We have been reborn.
Anew.
We're ready to do this.
Phoenixes.
What are we talking about today?
Travel.
Travel.
Travel in Iceland.
Traveling in Iceland.
We've both traveled extensively.
Yes.
We know our shit. Kinda.
Yes.
We have vague ideas.
I did a little bit of travel writing when I first came here. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of travel writing, actually. And your family are just like natural travelers.
They are.
Itchy feet.
Yeah. My husband's dad took them around Iceland when they were kids, like all the time, back when the ring road was just a dirt road, as my husband loves to say every single time. So he has experience just going out in Iceland and running down mountains or...
You are nomadic, I believe.
A little bit.
And you guys have an amazing vehicle now, too.
We have an amazing vehicle. It's an Isuzu Trooper.
Isuzu Trooper.
So for the younger kids, what you're going to do is go to Papa Google and ask him about Rosie Perez and her Isuzu Trooper. And you'll have a little nugget of some pop culture knowledge. You're welcome.
Rosie gets you around, though. You guys like go to the highlands, mm-hmm. all around the country.
She's one of those tricked out Jeeps that you see all over Iceland. It's not really a Jeep, not a brand Jeep, air quotes I'm doing because I talk with my hands.
Right. Not Jeep, like trademark Jeep.
Exactly. Not a Jeep. SUV.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what they do is they raise them up a little bit. I don't know what you call that, but there's a word for it.
I'm sure there is for people who enjoy car things.
Mm-hmm. And they put, this is going to sound stupid, but this is what they do. They raise it up and they put big wheels on it.
Yeah. No, that doesn't sound stupid. It totally sounds what they do.
Not like a monster truck big wheels. But just, like, big enough wheels to, like, go into the mountains, go into the highlands, go into snow, where you can use that snorkel because you're crossing a river. Because
you're, like, driving through a body of water.
Yeah. And you're saving little families and their little cars, little tourists that thought, oh, we could totally do this. We've had to, like, tow them out of rivers because their car got stuck.
Yeah. It's rough.
Not in our car, but Snorri's dad's car.
Like the winch, right?
Yeah. Well, no. Just a rope, and then he just pulled.
Oh, an Icelandic witch.
Yes, an Icelandic witch. You just attach it to that truck, pull it out of there. Yeah.
So this is a good car for you guys. Mm-hmm. We have a Subaru here,
mm-hmm.
and it's great,
mm-hmm.
and it gets us around. We've done a little bit of traveling because we have the little kids. We do different kinds of traveling mm-hmm. now. But we have some friends who are coming this summer. So, and I know you guys have family and friends who are coming.
Yeah.
So we sort of thought it would be a good idea to,
mm-hmm.
like,
talk about what to do.
Yeah, a rap session on what to do with different kinds of people.
Yeah.
So before you guys had kids, like, what did you guys like to do as a couple? Because I feel like there's lots of people who come here, mm-hmm. young couples, or even not young couples, but people who come for, like, not necessarily a romantic getaway, but right. just, like, to spend quality time with each other.
Well, quality time. There are lots of, or there used to be in the countryside, there are lots of little places that you can stop at, like little country hotels. And we actually did that with the kids once, and that was totally fine. But I digress. One of the places that I know you've been and I've been that's really nice and quaint and cute is Búðir.
It's on Snæfellsnes Peninsula.
Yes.
It is a beautiful place.
It's a beautiful place.
They've just done like a really good job. It's like very, I sound like my mom right now. It's very tastefully done. But I do. I feel like they've really like maintained like the history of the place, but also made it super comfortable and modern. Mm-hmm. The food is really good there too.
I really don't remember the food. Did we eat there? Maybe we didn't eat there.
There is literally nothing else around to eat for miles. So if you went there, I'm sure, unless you like brought snacks with you or something like that.
No, and I don't know why we did it because
they have a restaurant in the bottom.
We did eat there. We did. I remember we were with the kids. It was us, my sister-in-law's kids too. So maybe that's why I don't remember the food.
Yeah.
Because when you have the little kids with you, you're like trying to feed people and you don't even taste the food. You're shoving in your mouth.
Right. But if you go, here's a couple. I mean, it's a nice thing to go have a meal down there. So they had the restaurant, but they also have this great bar area with like, it looks like a 1970s sunken living room.
Is there wood paneling? Is there wood paneling happening?
Well, imagine the wood paneling, but it's gone, right? Mm-hmm. And you have just like these panorama windows looking out over like a beautiful Icelandic landscape.
Okay.
And when I say beautiful, Búðir is set in like a lava field. Like they could not have done this any better.
It is gorgeous.
And also there's this gorgeous black lab who just like frolics around the property. Mm-hmm. And who like comes to pay you a visit.
Yeah.
And I know that maybe you're not a complete dog person because you're a little bit allergic, but from a distance, that animal is majestic.
I enjoy dogs. I enjoy a friendly dog. I enjoy Garber.
That's our dog.
He's fantastic.
He's a good one. He's a keeper. But yeah, Búðir, amazing place.
And the church. Don't forget the church.
Oh yeah, there's like a cute little church, not for worship.
No.
But for
if that's your thing, if you want to go in there and worship, I don't think anybody would stop you.
No, probably not. I feel like a lot of Icelandic churches are mainly for like, not for show per se.
They're for baptisms.
Right.
They are for confirmations, right. And they are for funerals
and weddings.
And weddings. Oh, I forgot the weddings.
Right.
That's before you even get to the baptisms and the confirmations. If that's your thing. If that's
you hopped right over that to the funeral. I see where your mind is right now.
But it's an adorable church.
Yeah, it really is. It's really cute. And there's tons of people who get married there, I'm sure. And lots of people who go to just photograph the little church back there.
Yeah.
But the whole building's like that. The whole building is really awesome. And it's set off on this amazing peninsula. There's lots to do on that peninsula as well. There's the glacier that's there. There's a lava tube cave, an 8,000-year-old lava tube cave. And the guides for that lava tube cave are young, and they're just sort of... That's a really fun one to go into. And I also like that one because it does not cost a fortune. I think it's like $40.
Okay.
You get like a helmet and a light. And it takes like, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes to do the whole thing.
Yeah. Is it still $40?
No, it's still $40. We did it like...
Oh, you did it recently?
Yeah, like at the end of last year we did it. So I don't think that they've raised the price.
All right, great.
And if they have, it probably hasn't been that much. Yeah, but that's one of those... I mean, there's plenty of amazing things to... Like amazing natural experiences to have. Going into glaciers and going into caves and climbing mountains and stuff like that.
There are parfums about too.
But if you do these things, a lot of times they cost big money.
They do.
Like multiples of hundreds of dollars. Which is not to say not to do it.
But no.
This is a great thing that, I mean, you just pull over to the side of the road, bing, bang, boom, you've had a pretty great experience.
And don't they say that, you know, you should spend money on experiences, not on things?
Absolutely.
Iceland is the perfect place for that.
Renting a car here instead of taking a bus tour.
Yeah.
If you're a couple is a pretty great experience. I mean, I think it makes me think of all those like reality shows where the couple has to get together and like figure stuff out. And you really see like marrow of that relationship. Like how...
You're like, is this going to work or not? Because right now I want to punch you in the face.
Exactly.
Or not. Or it could be...
What are those shows that
really
I'm thinking
great.
Of?
Like The Amazing Race?
Amazing Race. That's what I'm thinking of. I feel like it's you will like have your own Amazing Race.
You will.
Because Iceland is not, it's not like a super difficult place to navigate.
It's not.
But it's also not the most obvious place to get around sometimes.
No. And also the weather is so unpredictable and like the signs, you may not always know where you're going. Especially if you're not familiar with Icelandic and you read it on the map or somebody tells you what it is. And then you see the sign, and you're like, is that what that person said?
Right. Road signs are not going to be that helpful.
No.
But, you know, it's kind of a great place to get just a little bit lost.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to get just a little bit lost.
A little bit. You'll find something interesting, no doubt.
You'll find something interesting. And you know what? You're not going to be lost for very long. It's a small country.
It's an island.
You just keep on going in the same direction.
Just go in that circle. Go in that circle.
And you're going to run into someone who can help you. Mm-hmm. People are very much into helping each other.
They're very helpful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I think it's a really nice place to strike out with your... With your significant other.
Mm-hmm. Have an adventure.
Yeah, to have a little bit of an adventure.
Aw, that's so romantic, yeah. Jonas. Look at you.
If you're not going to do that, if you're not the kind of couple that would do well in The Amazing Race / striking out in Iceland.
Right, right.
If you don't want to push that envelope too far.
If you want to just have a little package deal where you pay your money and you get your little experience and then you go home, Blue Lagoon.
Blue Lagoon! That's exactly where I was going to go with that. Did I just blow the mic out?
Maybe.
Okay. We'll fix that in post. the Blue Lagoon, that is another experience that couples can have. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is coming across on the radio waves, but I think maybe neither of us are like huge fans of the Blue Lagoon.
Well, you know, I went the first time I came to Iceland. And that was just because my husband wanted to show me the Blue Lagoon.
Right.
And this was just as the Blue Lagoon was turning into this kind of spa. It's not a resort, but it has that kind of feel.
Right.
Like that kind of all-inclusive little package deal where you can do this. You can get massages. You can get a facial. You can, you know, get a massage under a waterfall. You can get some of the silica mud spread all over your body. Like they're juice bars in the water. Like all these different little things that are kind of resorty.
Yeah, they're definitely like marketing to like a luxury experience.
Sort of thing.
It's not anymore like a rough and tumble sort of like, look at this amazing piece of nature we found.
Right. Which is not an amazing piece of nature anybody found.
Not to burst everyone's bubble, but the Blue Lagoon is a man-made thing.
Really is. It's like, here's the power plant. We use some of that good old piping hot geothermal water. Now it's not hot enough to do anything, so we're just going to let it out in the lava field.
That's right.
Boom. Blue Lagoon.
Blue Lagoon. 7,000 kroner, please.
Yeah. But before, folks, you should just go in there and be like, oh, is this water still warm? I might soak in this.
Yeah.
And then it became a thing.
And I think that, I don't remember when this happened, but they discovered like it's really great for people who have skin conditions, mm-hmm. like eczema, psoriasis, things like that.
I want to say it happened, I'm going to make up a number. I've got to say the 60s. Is that too early? 70s?
I have no idea, but I think people should not be listening to this to get like factual information.
Do you want to get the sense of the soul, the spirit of Iceland, not so much the facts and figures?
Right.
There we go. Disclaimer. That's
right. We can point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
But we are not a reliable source of information.
You can Google all of this if you want confirmation or if you want clarification, because we were a little, you know,
fuzzy around the edges.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's not a lot of people who have like skin diseases who are in the same section as people who are using it recreationally.
Yeah.
There's actually a separate facility where people go mm-hmm. for treatment.
Yeah. Right. No, because in the general population pool, as I'm going to call it.
The gin pop.
There's some other things going on in the pool.
There are some surprises.
What's happening in that sediment? There's this thick, I guess it's full of silica mud.
Right.
At the bottom of the Blue Lagoon.
Well, silica mud is like one of their like selling points. Silica mud is like magic. That's what like helps people with their psoriasis and their eczema.
And it gives the water this cool bluish, whitey kind of color. Mm-hmm. And it makes it look all mystical because the steam comes up and you're in a lava field and you're like, ooh, an elf is going to come over to me any moment. And just,
I mean, visually it is pretty stunning.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then you want to, your instinct is going to be to dig your toes into that mud.
Don't do it, folks. Don't do it.
Because when you pull it up, you're going to get some of that mud. Yeah, true. Yes. And some hair.
Human hair.
A little bit.
Loads of it. It is basically lined with human hair on the bottom.
Oh, God, when you say it like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a discovery that I think everyone makes at some point while they're there.
Mm.
I mean, hopefully it's like not while you're like rubbing this mud like into your face.
I didn't discover it at all. I didn't.
There are pots of mud that they have there that's not like infested with human hair.
That might be why they put it there.
Yeah. So use the pipe. If you're going to like apply the mud to your face, which is a fine thing to do, don't pull it up from the bottom.
No.
Definitely go to the pot where they have it readily available for everybody. Mm-hmm. Also, don't get it in your hair, folks.
Unless you want your hair to be kind of like, what's his name? The Scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, it's like straw. Your hair feels like straw if you get the mud in it. And they have free conditioner in the showers.
So slather it on.
Yeah.
Slather.
Go nuts. All you can condition. You need to leave that conditioner in for a long time, too.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a layover in Iceland, I say keep the conditioner on when you go back on the plane.
Just let it soak. Let it sit.
Let it sit.
Do it like your grandma. Put a shower cap on top of that bad boy. Deep condition.
Deep condition.
People will stare at you, but what? You don't care.
You're never going to see them again.
Never going to see them again. And your hair needs some treatment. You just put on that shower cap with the conditioner.
I do have to say that I think the Blue Lagoon is a great idea if you have a layover. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a better way to like undo the knots that transatlantic flying does. Mm-hmm. Like you land at the airport.
Quick stop at the Blue Lagoon. Soak.
And they have it really like worked out well for people who want to do it too. They have buses that are going all the time. You know, they want you to come and do this.
They do.
And they will charge you a lot for it. But you know, if it's like, you know, if it's sort of like a once in a lifetime sort of thing.
That's true.
Because I've been a couple of times. I'm not saying that it's a bad experience. I'm just saying that it's not something that like people who live here want to do all the time.
No, because it's so expensive and you can just go to the local pool.
Yeah.
There are pools everywhere.
Right. And you don't get the benefits like the silica mud, but I don't know if like there's that many great like health benefits for it.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Visually, it's a pretty cool thing.
It is nice.
And it is a nice thing to do as a couple, although I will say, just because the water is milky and you cannot see from the waist down does not mean that everyone needs to go get intimate in the water.
And people do.
They do, and they think they're being very sly about it. Mm-hmm. And they are not.
They are not.
Everyone knows. Mm-hmm. Don't do it, please. Save it for the airport bathroom.
Oh, God.
Or your hotel room.
Or the airplane bathroom.
Or the airplane bathroom you want to. But we all got to share this water, and we got to make it last.
Oh, God. Make it last. Oh, we don't have clearance for that. Sorry, Keith. But, you know, speaking of pools.
Yeah.
They're great for folks with kids.
That is very true.
If you're just a couple, if you're a singleton, if you have a family, who doesn't like just going to the pool? Now, when I say pool, I should clarify because some people are like, I don't swim. I don't want to do laps. Icelandic swimming pools have pools for lapping. They also have pools for just like little kids to sit in and play with balls. They have toys. They have slides, crazy slides. And they have lots of hot tubs.
Hot tubs galore.
And that's what you go for.
Yeah.
As a grown-up, at least.
And the kids, I mean, my daughter likes it.
Yeah, they get started in the hot tub. They warm up after they run out of the locker room into the cold.
It's cold.
And they're wet because they had to shower. Everyone must shower naked, goddammit. Yeah. Shower, scrub your ass. Nobody wants your nasty ass in the hot tub. Come out to the hot tub and you soak.
Can we just address the change rooms?
Rewind.
Ever so slightly?
Rewind. Go back to the changing room.
So the Icelandic changing rooms are a bit of a challenge sometimes, especially for Americans, because we are not a people who embrace public nudity.
You know, the Puritans, they did us dirty on that one.
They did us dirty.
We are not good with being just in our bodies, just naked.
Just naked around each other.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can get away with walking in with your swimsuit on.
Yeah.
Discreetly, like, washing your parts.
Yeah.
While you have your swimsuit on.
Sometimes.
Sometimes you can't do that.
Yeah, though. Not always. Sometimes that attendant is like, I've heard people get a dressing down.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, take off your swimsuit and shower.
And get it clean.
Get in there.
Let me see you get it clean.
And the old folks get in there and get it clean.
Ooh, they will show you how it's done.
They will give you instructions. They don't care.
They will give you like a visual demonstration.
All in the folds, all the saggy balls, just throw them over your shoulders. Grub.
Yeah, they really get down in there.
Lift up that boob and just get in there. All the crevices that you're thinking about, they clean very thoroughly.
Thoroughly cleansed.
No shame.
No. No shame. That's kind of great though,
too. It's a great thing though. That's old folks for you.
And if you do head to, like, our local pool is the downtown pool, Sundhöll Reykjavíkur. And if you go in around, like, 11, 11:30, Those hot pots on the balcony are old man soup.
Oh, yeah.
They just marinate in it.
They just sit there and go, yeah.
And it's a place, it's a place where conversations happen. Mm-hmm. I feel like important decisions are made in the hot pot. And if, you know, you are a tourist who wants to strike up a conversation with a local, mm-hmm. it can be hard to do that with Icelanders elsewhere.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily like the most chatty kind of people.
No. But in that, their tongues get loose.
Yeah. I don't know what happens.
And they want to talk to you.
Yeah. Sometimes when you don't even really want to talk to
them. Yeah. They want
to
know where you're from. Or assume that they know where you're from because you are black. You must be Ethiopian.
Oh, my God. Wait. Can you just talk about that a little bit?
It's like, no, sir. I'm not. Okay. So this was, I think it may. Oh, was it my first trip here? It was early on in my relationship with Iceland. Or in that hot tub. But you know what? Snorri tells me it wasn't that hot tub. He says it was a different pool, but I digress. Anyway, we're in a hot tub.
Folks, it could happen in any hot pot around the country.
We were in a hot tub in Iceland. An old guy hearing us speak English. Oh, where are you from? I'm from the States, from U.S. Okay. But like, where are you, you know, your family is, you know, you're like Ethiopian.
Ethiopian.
I was like, no, I'm not Ethiopian. My family's not Ethiopian. He's like, oh, so like, where do you think, where are they from? It's like, well, given the history of the United States, I'm going to go with West Africa. Oh, God. That's where they took us from. That's where our cousins were like, here you go. And they were like, thank you. And took us on over. And he was like, I don't know if he was convinced. I was like, dude.
What else does he want?
I don't know. I was like, stop talking to me now. I need to find another hot tub.
Well, that is a nice thing that if you want another hot tub, chances are there's going to be one right around the corner.
There will be, but it's probably the hotter hot tub. So you got to be ready.
Yeah. And the heat can get turned up fast.
It can.
Conversationally and temperature-wise.
Yes. I like the hot tub, though. I like the, and you start sweating.
Yeah.
And then you just, and I never thought I would be this person, that you get out of the hot tub and you sit down.
Yeah. You just got, it's too hot.
Just in the cold, on a bench. There you are, in your bathing suit. And you're like, what am I doing? But it feels so good.
Right.
It feels great.
It does. So, the kids with the pool is I think that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. A, it's pretty affordable. Mm-hmm. B, there's other kids there, and kids love kids.
Yep.
My daughter always wants to find other kids to play with.
They don't need to speak the same language either.
Yeah,
they don't care.
They speak the language of let's play.
Exactly. Here's the ball. Let's go do it.
Yeah, and I think that gives them like a really good impression of the country too. Mm-hmm.
And the pools are everywhere, as we mentioned, every town. If there's like more than a couple of Icelanders together, they're going to dig themselves a pool and make it happen.
One thing that I've really liked too is that no one really bats an eye like when I bring my daughter into the men's changing room. Mm-hmm. And I imagine the same way when like people bring their kids in there. I had
wanted to ask you about that. Like, how is it?
It's totally fine. Mm-hmm. Asher gets an eyeful every time she goes in.
Does she ever say anything? Is she ever like, wow, that's a lot of penises?
We talk about it a little bit.
Yeah.
And everyone's just very cool about it. Mm-hmm. You know, like nudity here, I feel like people have a very healthy attitude towards nudity here.
Yeah.
And our bodies, mm-hmm. which I like. I think that's it's a great way to be.
Yeah.
Is it honest to like my culture? Absolutely not. Am I like deep
the first down time inside, like, did you want to like cover our eyes? Like, no, Ashley, don't look. You're like, no, I'm gonna play it cool. These are just bodies. Let's go, Astrid.
I feel like if I play it cool, she's gonna play it cool. Yeah. And that's the attitude that she's developed towards mm-hmm. it. But I also feel like the attendants at the pool are pretty, I mean, they can be draconian in the shower room.
Right.
But if you have like a problem with your kid, mm-hmm. or like you want to keep your kid with you, if your kid's a little bit older, like I think normally they say the cutoff age is like 6 years old. Mm-hmm. After six, then your kid is supposed to go into the right locker room. Mm-hmm. And you may not go with them. But, you know, I feel like the attendants are just, like, there to be pretty helpful.
Yeah.
If you don't want to send your kid in there alone, they'll find you a place where you guys can change together. Mm-hmm. You know what is also cool is that some of the pools here are starting to offer, like, non-gender changing facilities. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you don't identify with the binary,
right,
you have a place to, like, change and feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that no one would like bat an eye if you ask about it.
Yeah.
It's a new thing. It is. Mm-hmm. But like.
But it's there.
It's part of the conversation now. Mm-hmm. And like, we're talking about like how to like work this into society so that people, so that everyone can come enjoy the pool. Like right. Everyone should be able to come enjoy the
exactly.
pool.
Exactly.
So.
And some women go topless in the pool.
Big ups Iceland. Mm-hmm. Big ups for Iceland. That's right. They're going to be boobies.
They're going to be boobies. No, I'm not if people are going looking for boobies, I'm not guaranteeing boobies.
That's right.
But you may see a boob or two, depending on how somebody is set up.
Yeah.
It's totally, you know, it's not, people aren't going to be clutching their imaginary pearls. Oh my goodness. Nobody cares.
And it's not boobs. And it's not a sexual thing at all.
No.
I kind of like that it's, like, divorced from sexuality, actually. Mm-hmm. That's nice. So, we might be sounding a little bit different now because we had to stop recording last time. We're starting to record. We're in a little bit of a different place now.
Yeah. My cold is 20 times better. I'm almost 100%.
You sound so much better now.
So much better. Yeah. I'm not talking like this anymore.
There's not a child screaming in the background.
Mm, a sweet little angel.
I hope that that doesn't, like, ruin the first recording.
No, it makes it more realistic. Brings it home for the people.
It's life, folks.
The cold... The screaming child. It's life.
It's real.
It's life in Iceland.
It's real. We're bringing it to you unfiltered.
Mm-hmm. The struggle.
Except we are going to go back and edit all of this.
Yeah, a little bit. A little
bit. Another thing that I wanted to mention doing with kids is the Icelandic quote-unquote zoo.
The zoo.
And we need to just do a little bit of explanation here.
It's not exactly a... A zoo in the way that you think of a zoo.
Not by, like, international standards.
Not by international standards.
It is a collection of animals.
It's a collection of animals. Not exotic animals. Not animals not from Iceland. Although reindeer are not indigenous to Iceland.
Oh, really? Well, they are here now in droves.
They're here now. I don't think they are. I don't think they're indigenous. We should probably Google check that shit.
We probably should, but you know what?
We're not gonna.
Sorry, folks. But there are a lot of reindeer here now.
There are.
I mean, the horse isn't indigenous to America.
That's true.
But, you know, it's an animal in America now.
Yeah, yeah. Mustangs, roaming free, a couple of them.
White people.
White people.
Not indigenous to America.
Not indigenous to America, and yet lots of them.
Lots of them, all over the place.
All over.
Ruining the place. So we will find reindeer there, which is a really cool thing. That's, like, one of the cool animals that are there.
I think that might be the... Only. Oh, no.
There's seals. There's seals there, too.
Seals.
And, I mean, it's kind of fun seeing the other animals, which are exclusively farm animals, mm-hmm. except for the elusive Arctic fox.
The Arctic fox.
If he's there, he never lets himself be seen.
I only went the one time, and I was looking really hard. Because they are masters of disguise. They blend in really well.
That's their M.O.
But, yeah, I don't know that no one I've spoken to has ever seen the Arctic fox at that zoo.
Same. I have never run into anyone who's actually glimpsed him.
So maybe they just have, like, the setup and the sign, and they're like, oh, people know the Arctic fox is shy, so.
It's all for show.
Yeah, they don't actually have one.
It's just
How about that?
It's just to sell tickets.
See?
God damn them.
Sneaky.
Well, it is still a really fun place to go, and just for the reindeer alone, it's kind of awesome. The reindeer are not like any other animal you've seen. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen, what's the movie called? The Dr. Seuss movie with the Christmas guy?
The Grinch.
The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. You know when he puts the antlers on his dog?
Mm-hmm.
That's what all those animals look like. They look haggard and hungry and lanky.
What you're saying is that the reindeer don't look like the reindeer in The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. They look like the dog with the antlers.
Like the dog with the antlers. Exactly.
Pretending to be a reindeer.
Kind of shaggy, mm-hmm. very good natured, super hungry and tired. They don't look like sad zoo animals, though. They look like they're like, right. They look mm-hmm. like, I mean, they have a very large enclosure to like roam around.
Mm-hmm.
And they're super happy when like the feeders come in. And, you know, they have it set up so you can go and see feedings throughout the day so you can like, you know, get a little bit of engagement with the animals
right.
and they tell you about the animals. Yeah, but the reindeer, that's a really cool one. And some of them have huge antlers. They've taken the antlers off of one of the animals, and they mounted it up on the wall. I mean, not, like, violently. It's not like a trophy head.
Right. It's just the antlers.
Like they, like, shed the antlers naturally.
Right. The males do. I don't think the females shed their antlers.
That is science, and I cannot confirm that.
Google.
Please Google that.
There will be several references, you know, to Google. To just Google it, folks.
Yeah. We are not certified to talk about anything.
No, we're just regular people.
just regular people with children who scream in the background sometimes. But not tonight. So they put up these antlers on the wall, and it's not with the reindeer for some reason. I don't know why. It's like in the cow shed or in the sheep house or something like
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah. But they put them up on the wall, and it has become the place where kids go to say goodbye to their pacifiers.
Aww.
Which I think is kind of a cute thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it is loaded with pacifiers, too. Like, people come in and bring their passies and say goodbye to them, and then they go visit them sometimes.
Yeah.
Back at the zoo.
So they can say, you remember when?
Yeah.
I'm such a big kid now. I don't need a passie anymore.
The farmhouse are kind of fun because a lot of them you can touch.
Mm-hmm.
Just stick your hands through, or like the calves will stick their little tongues through and lick your hands, and you're giving me a really unpleasant face right now. You don't like touching the farm animals?
I don't like touching the farm animals. You know, just like the, what is it? The hoof and mouth?
Hoof and mouth.
It makes me a little, and also because, I mean, it's, of course, they want to be sanitary, so they're always like hand washing stations in zoos when they have the little pet thingies, like the pet and meat, the animals or whatever. It always makes me a little uncomfortable because the saliva, it just gets, you know, they lick you there, they get your pinky or your something, and you just want to, like, feed them a carrot or, like, some hay, and they're just like, ugh.
But no, like, mouth-to-hand contact,
no,
preferably.
But see, yeah. But you never know. Yeah. You never know. It makes me a little uncomfortable.
And
clearly
also,
not raised on a farm.
Kids like to put their hands onto the animals and then immediately into their mouths.
Exactly. Exactly. So I was like, ooh, no.
We've said this before, like, when you go into Icelandic nature, you will come into contact with, like, weird, like, geographical features and geological features, is what I mean to say, and, like, beautiful landscapes. Animals, though, not a whole lot of animals. It's, like, birds.
Far between. Yeah, a lot of birds. A lot of seabirds.
And you'll see, like, horses at farms
and
stuff.
And horses, yeah.
But, like, as far as the other stuff, like...
You don't really see them.
No, you don't get in contact with them. And this is a way to, like, at least get into contact with some of the wildlife that's actually here.
Yeah. To know what you might see.
Yeah.
And if you're lucky.
On the other side of the zoo is a massive playground. Like, the most fun playground in all of Iceland. You have a huge, like, pirate ship that kids can climb on.
That's the only thing, I think, that I remember. I remember the pirate ship, but I remember the big sandbox with the little diggers.
Oh, yeah. They have, like, Volvo came in and installed a bunch of, like, automatic or, like, electric diggers for kids to play with. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah. Andre was there for... That's the whole... trip. I remember just the diggers.
The whole thing
couldn't get them away from there.
The whole thing is in what they call their botanical gardens.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a big public park in the middle. Well, when I say big, I mean, don't expect Central Park, first of all. It's large. It's like larger than someone's private yard.
It's a garden.
It's a garden. Yeah, it's a public garden. There you go. It's a public garden.
It's a public garden.
And the botanical gardens that are there, there's like a little cafe inside there, and the food is really good in there.
You have the inside scoop on all the good food spots.
Well, they are few and far between sometimes here in Iceland.
So they stick in your brain.
That's right.
I've got to remember this
good food. That really is a good one. It's not inside the zoo. The food inside the zoo...
Well, you know, zoo food.
Yeah, zoo food.
Is zoo food ever, like,
never
amazing?
A good idea.
They do have ice cream, though. I remember the ice cream.
Okay.
It was near the playground area.
Right. Between the playground and the zoo, they do have an ice cream, and they have snacks there, too.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can, leave the zoo and then go to the, I think it's called Cafe Floron. Cafe Floron.
Mm-hmm.
We can maybe put that in our show notes. Great place. It's only open from May to October. But, yeah. Did you have any experience? Have you been to the zoo?
I have, but... As I said, I remember the playground, I remember the ice cream, and I remember the cow diarrhea. That was fun.
What?
Cow diarrhea.
That's disgusting.
It's disgusting. Yeah, that Snorri tried to tell me, my husband. He's like, oh, no, it's just how cows poop. This is in retrospect. I don't think I pointed it out to him at the time because I was just so grossed out. This poor cow was just standing there chewing her cud and, you know... things just oozing down the udders.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not good. Is somebody going to have a look at her? Because that can't be right. It cannot be.
That just goes to show you the animals are not on, what's it called, animatronic?
No, they're not. They're not animatronic. They're not not on any antibiotics or anything crazy. Just, you know, going with the flow,
that's
as
right.
it were.
Nature called.
And
she answered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Loosely.
Mm. It was so not pretty. But you know.
So we thought maybe we could talk about some just different kinds of trips that people like to take here. I mean, obviously there's people who are coming with kids, and mm-hmm. we've talked a little bit about that. But, you know, a lot of people who come here not necessarily for the city life.
No. I mean, I think very few people come here for the city life. I mean, they might want to check out, oh, I've heard the bar scene is really, you know, amazing, right. the music scene. But I know a lot of people come to Iceland specifically for the nature and the easy accessibility to amazing, beautiful things, and to be able to, like, hike on a glacier, hike a mountain, go, you know, ride a horse, do all kinds of amazing things, and it's not too far away. Like, you can do it really easily.
Right. And yeah. some really unique landscapes, too. Just mm-hmm. some, like, weird-looking shit out there.
Weird-looking shit out there. Yeah. What kind of weird-looking shit did you have in mind? Were you thinking of specifically?
I'm thinking, because it's a volcanic island. Yeah. I mean, I know it's not the only volcanic island in the world, mm-hmm. but, like, these lava fields...
They are pretty fucking beautiful.
Yeah, they're strange and beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And also, folks, don't go walking all over the lava fields.
Oh, yeah, that's so sad.
They're covered in this thick, thick, spongy, like you're going to want to jump on it and bounce around because it's so soft and fluffy.
And there's no bugs here, so this thing's going to, like, crawl out and bite you.
Right. And so it's this moss, but it's been growing for a very long time.
And it takes a long time to grow back.
Right. So if you disrupt it, if you pull it up because you were running on it or something, it's going to take, what, 1,000 years for it to get that fluffy again? Is that too, is that an exaggeration? I don't think it is.
Probably over a million years for it to get fluffy again.
I don't think that 1,000 years is an exaggeration. There's a very short growing period in Iceland for plants. Yeah. Very, very short. So yeah, just an FYI. Don't go frolicking. You're going to want to frolic. Don't frolic. Stop and take a picture, and then, like, maybe gently caress with your fingertips.
It is, but those lava fields are really cool. And there's mm-hmm. there are a lot of different places in the country. Like, one of the first places you see is when you land at the airport, like, driving in from the airport. All mm-hmm. of Reykjanes Peninsula is covered in these lava fields. Yeah. Or a lot of it is.
A lot of it is. And some of it just looks like Mars.
Yes, it just looks so strange. And, yeah. you know, the Icelanders, or a lot of Icelanders, thinks it's, like, an ugly... wasteland because you can't like do anything with it, I guess. Right. You can't like farm it or build houses on anything like that. So they're just like
kind of desolate looking, you know. I remember the first time coming here, I was like, where am I? Yeah. This is freaky looking.
Yeah. Also, there's just like the lack of trees, I think, makes it sort of a unique landscape.
Yeah.
Also makes it seem like not like a little bit unearthly.
Mm-hmm.
Also, super hard to judge the size of mountains when you don't have like trees for reference.
It really is hard. And so then that throws everything else off. Snorri tells me tales of running down, like, the, you know, the mountains that are kind of sandy? Is that kind of gravelly?
Oh, yeah. They've got scree on them.
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Scree? Yeah.
So when he was a kid, like, they would, like, go up as far as they could on those mountains and then run down as fast as they could.
Wow. That seems crazy dangerous.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
But he said it was great. And I was like, wow. And he's like, I want to take the boys to do that. And I look at the mountain and I'm like, really? Because it seems like you would just face plant and then...
just eat it.
And just slide on down on your face. And it would not be fun.
I mean, looking out at it sometimes, especially when there's no ice, it just looks like a big playground sometimes, you know? Like, it just sort of beckons to, like, go out and frolic.
Clearly it does, because that's what my husband did, and he wants the kids to do.
Yeah.
And we do. We do frolic.
There's some fun ways to interact with nature here, too. And one of the things is going caving.
Mm. There are caves. Well, not caves everywhere. But there are lots of caves.
There are lots of caves. But with the boom in tourism.
Yeah.
People have decided to monetize these things.
Yes, they have.
And that doesn't mean that all the caves charge an entrance fee now.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, someone throws up a little booth.
Yeah. They throw up a little booth. They throw up a bathroom. They put a little path in there, a little wooden path, and they're charging money. They're like, okay, yeah, you can come see the cave.
And sometimes they charge an enormous amount of money.
Yeah, it's a little surprising.
I will say that there's one that I like that's mm-hmm. out on Snæfellsnes. Okay. It's called... oh, what is it called? I think it's called Vashetler. Okay. And we can put up some information on that on our show notes.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it because, A, it's not a super long tour.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a super long cave.
Yeah.
But it is a cool cave. It's an 8,000-year-old lava tube cave.
Mm-hmm. 8,000?
8,000-year-old.
Okay. The one I went to was, what, 1,000?
Oh, a youngin.
It was a youngin.
It was a young cave.
And it was a little pricey. Do you remember how much it was? I told you, I don't remember how much it was.
It was, wasn't over like 20,000 to go in?
No, it was definitely more than that.
Really?
Yes. Yes, I want to say it was like 68.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, folks, that's like $700.
Not 68,000, sorry.
So 6,800?
6,800.
Oh.
Is that right?
Oh,
okay. You know, I can't get my kroner straight.
6,800 would be like...
68, like, dollars, like-ish.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so that's 6,800.
There you go.
So, yeah. I mean, I feel like that's not super pricey, actually, for a cave. I thought it was way more than that.
No.
Because there are some things, and we'll talk about them in a second, like, to go down into some of the glaciers.
Oh, well, that's...
It's like a couple $100.
But you need, like, serious equipment, right, for that?
You need serious equipment, so it's like, there's a reason they're charging that much for it. But, I mean, it's a spendy thing to do while you're here.
It is. But I think it's kind of worth it.
Yeah, that one is kind of worth it, yeah.
Yeah.
But the going back to the Slava cave.
Yes.
It's on Snifel's Ness, and it's like $40, 4,000 kroner.
Okay.
All right. Like, maybe a little bit more realistic. I can't remember it exactly. And the other thing I liked about it is that the guides were really pretty. Or the one guide we had was pretty fun.
Yeah.
He talks in like a little bit of a funny way.
What do you mean?
He talks a little bit like John Wayne for some reason. Like, he had like a very...
Was he Icelandic?
Yeah, he was Icelandic, but he had like a very affected way of speaking English.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. He like put on like a thick American accent.
Oh, okay.
Like John Wayne.
Oh, wow. He like practiced in front of like watching Westerns.
But he wasn't that practiced, because his humor was like very much just like off the cuff. We had a great time in that cave.
Oh, okay.
It's a bi-level
lava
tube cave. So there's all these like formations inside that you can stop and see. And then there's a gigantic spiral staircase that takes you down to like the lower level
of
the cave.
Okay, so you can do both levels.
Yeah, you can do both. You can do both levels. And they said that, like, you know, you don't have to be like a marathon runner to do it.
Right.
But you have to have like some physical agility to do it. You have to be able to like climb quite a lot of stairs to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But totally worth it to do it. At the end, they turn off they have everyone turn off their helmet lights, and you can see perfect pitch blackness.
We did the same thing in the cave we went to. I'm going to ask you to say it, because I never remember how to say it. It was
so I think it's called
this one.
Víðgalmir.
Yeah, it was in that one, and we had the same thing where you get to the end of the cave, you turn off all the lights, and it's completely dark.
So where is that one?
Oh, goodness. Why are you asking me where it is? Like, I'm going to remember.
Okay.
It's the one that's near Langjökull.
Okay. So it's a little bit into the highlands.
Yeah.
And on the west side of Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
And we can put some show notes. We'll put that up in our show notes as well.
Because we went up on the glacier, and then on the way back, we were like, oh, let's stop in this cave. And we stopped at the cave.
Right. I think there's like some tours that go up there. Like, they go into the same part of the country, and they stop at Húsafell.
Yeah.
Which is sort of like an outpost in the highlands. It's a pretty nice outpost now. Like, they have like a little shop there and a restaurant where you can get pizza. I mean, they've really got it done up nice for tourists now. But they also have one of the oldest swimming complexes in the country that scouts put together, like, way back in the day.
I haven't been to that one. I feel like we've been to so many pools. We haven't been there.
That one's kind of a cool one, actually. Mm-hmm. It was like built back in the day, and it sort of maintains a sort of like concrete charm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's like a lap pool. And they've got some hot tubs carved into the hillside.
Oh, nice.
And you look out over this beautiful valley.
Oh.
And it's cheap, like all the pools are. It's cheap to go in and do that. But from there, you can go to, I think, this cave that you're talking about, although I haven't been to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can also go into this glacier tour.
Yeah.
And
we
saw a
lot of the glacier trucks going up there.
They're crazy looking.
I was like, what? How? It looks like they took, like, a container, like, from a container ship, and like put it on, how many was it, like 9 giant tires, and just drive that bad boy up the glacier.
It looks like a monster truck ate a bus.
Yeah.
They're so big,
and they come like down that mountain, and we were just in little Rosie in our little truck. We could see them like coming down the mountain, and so we would just like pull over as much as you can pull over
on like a mountain road, right?
Well, you know, it was getting up closer to the glacier, so there was a little space.
Okay,
so we just like pulled over to the side, and they would just go like full speed going down the mountain. I would be a little afraid. You've been on one.
I've been on one, and we had to turn around in it because we hit like snow blindness, and they couldn't see where they were going. And that is not a car that makes like an easy 3-point turn.
It's like, oh, let's just boop, boop, boop. Okay, let's go. No.
And they do want to back it down the mountain. So literally, he did like a 25-point turn.
Oh.
And every time he would like go off the edge of the road a little bit, and the whole vehicle would like.
Because you're so top heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not
top heavy. No, not you personally. The truck.
The vehicle is very top heavy. And it would go off the edge of the road a little bit, and the whole thing would sink, and everyone would just...
Gasp a little bit.
Yeah, just scream a little bit, like, oh my God. So 25 times we did it until they finally got the whole thing turned around, and we went back down the hill. So it does happen that, you know, sometimes you get in, you go up to the glacier, and the glacier is not happy.
The glacier said, no visitors today.
No visitors today. I'm not doing it. Go away. Go home. And when that happens, the tour will refund your, will refund like your tour fee. But you don't, I mean, you don't get the day back.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a, I mean, it's not a wasted day because it's obviously beautiful to go up there.
And you've had this adventure of going up a glacier and being like, oh my God, like the crazy weather. It's a, you know, because it's a glacier but when and you're out that, in nature.
When you're that close.
Yeah.
When you're that close, it is a... It is a jagged little pill to have to swallow there at the end.
All right, really Alanis. Is.
All right, Alanis. Thank you for giving us that for life. But that is a, that that tour, especially that goes up to Langkyokut. I think it's called either Into the Glacier
or Inside the Glacier. Into the Glacier.
If you Google that, then you'll find the tours. They're pretty expensive too, especially if you include transport all the way from Reykjavik. But take a look at it because. The reason that tour is different is that you literally go...
Inside the glacier.
Inside the glacier,
We just went up on the glacier a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, we were like, oh, put our pinky toe on the glacier. Look, we're on a glacier. But they go all the way up and inside.
It's like a borehole or something like that. Yeah, and you go inside. They've like gotten... It's not a natural ice cave. It's a man-made ice cave.
Oh, okay.
And I think maybe they don't like publicize that too much, that it's man-made.
They don't say, we just dug a hole here so we could make some money off of you tourists.
But at the same time, I think that, like, a tourist just died because, it was a German tourist. He just died because he got crushed by a piece of ice that, like, fell.
Oh.
Is that right? That's not right. I mean, I'm confusing two things.
Okay.
I was, like, Googling something a while ago, and at some point, a German tourist was crushed because, like, a piece of ice fell on him in one of the cave tours. But that was a natural cave tour.
Okay.
And I think maybe things are, like, maintained. Like, this, like safety is a lot higher if you're going to the man-made one.
Right.
But, you know, folks, it's nature.
It's nature. And I think people forget that in Iceland because things are so close and you can get to them so easily.
Yeah.
They forget that, no, this is, you're out in the wilds. You're not...
This is not a theme park.
It's not a theme park. So you don't go to the edge of a waterfall and take a selfie.
Yeah, or like walk right up to the geyser.
Or yeah. Or, and there was a tourist the other day that went out on a... I think it was at the Glacier Lagoon, was it? Went out on, like, one of those little icebergs.
Oh, no.
Yes. To take a picture.
Oh.
And everyone was, like, screaming, freaking like, out. You know, like, oh, my God. And luckily, he got back fine. But these are the kind of things that people do. Because I don't know. I don't know what they think.
Because those icebergs at the Glacier Lagoon, like, flip over.
Yeah.
And you're just, like, stuck underneath it.
Then. Yeah, and there you go.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like it's an especially dangerous place, Iceland. I mean, especially, like, as far as, like, people dying. I don't hear about having it all the time. But, like, when you do hear about it, it's generally because people were just not using thinking. Common sense.
Yeah. Not using common sense.
I mean, these encounters with nature are a lot of fun, memorable. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're sort of like experiences of a lifetime.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a little bit of risk.
Don't leave your common sense at home. Bring it with you.
That's right. But, I mean, the risk is part of what makes it sort of exciting, too.
A little bit.
And, like, when you enter Mother Nature's glaciers, there's a chance that she will swallow you up and not spit you back out. Probably that won't happen.